This is Movies for the Blind, episode 126. This is not a test, part 2.
Won't do you any good to cry. It's all over.
Hello and welcome to Movies for the Blind, where you can enjoy films without looking at a screen. I'm Valerie Hunter. We continue with This Is Not a Test, and since there are a lot of people to keep track of in this thing, let's give you a refresher course. Now, Coulter is the deputy who got the call to put up a roadblock on a lonely highway at 4 in the morning, eventually stopping several people. We have local old-timer Jake and his granddaughter June, gamblers, drinkers, and con artists Cheryl and Joe, long-haul truck driver Al, and his hitchhiker, who happens to be a murderer, Clint, who's now run off and is in hiding somewhere at the moment, unhappily married couple Sam and Karen, and later, scooter driver and local boy Pete. Now, the news has come through the police radio that, as best as we can tell, there's an emergency that has been declared in the nearest city and beyond, warning that possible nuclear missiles are on the way, likely to strike not far from where these people are. So Coulter has gotten the idea to use Al's semi-truck as a bomb shelter. He's also given Al his shotgun and sent him up to a nearby hill to watch out for Clint or whoever else might cause trouble. Though, really, there's plenty of trouble just among themselves. Okay, now we have everyone straight, I think. Let's find out if all their anxiety is for naught, or whether the big one is really coming. By the way, if you're especially sensitive to violence against animals, be advised of suggestions of that in this episode. Here's the conclusion of This Is Not a Test. On his way past the police car, Al pauses.
All fire units. All fire units. Halt.
Hey, Coulter! There's something coming over on your radio!
Units 19.
As he walks off, Coulter and the others hurry to the police car.
To rail marshaling yard. All fire units.
Coulter gets in the car.
Officers, shoot all looters. Shoot all looters.
Jake bends down to him.
What's going on? Can't make it all out. There's a fire and there's looting.
Sam walks around the car to Jake.
If they were to hit the city from here, could we hear it? Could we see it?
Take it easy. Oh, it won't happen. I don't believe it. Junie, where did I put the book?
Behind the seat on your side. Can I get it for you, Grant?
No, I'll get it myself.
June watches Jake walk away. Sam follows him past Karen, then Joe and Cheryl.
Joe, I want to thank you for your present. It's just what I wanted.
Oh, wow, baby. That stuff really hits you, doesn't it?
No, I feel fine. You know, I'm not worried anymore. Not even a little bit. And I don't want you to worry either.
You got another bottle, baby. Now I know you didn't get that stoned on what you had in there.
She opens the fur coat to reveal a bottle.
Give me that.
No, you don't.
You heard what the cop said.
You're not going to find out.
She escapes his hold to run off. He chases her. Karen and Sam watch.
She's still drinking.
Well, why shouldn't she if it makes it any easier?
He said there was to be no more drinking.
She's not hurting anybody.
She's jeopardizing every one of us. We're going to be penned up in this truck for 2 weeks. And I don't like the idea of spending 14 days with an alcoholic woman.
As Coulter flips through a book, Jake approaches him.
Have you figured out where you're going to move the truck?
Yeah.
Well, just between you and me, do you think it's going to do any good?
What do you mean?
You know if we're within 200 miles of ground zero, it's no use.
People survived Hiroshima and they didn't have any warning.
Well, that was an old-fashioned atomic bomb. Now, if they use the hydrogen warhead, then what?
In that case, it's over. No truck, no mountain, no nothing. We can't think that way. As long as I wear this badge, it's my duty to protect the lives of the citizens.
And your plan of survival is a truck?
That's right. Sure, I could have sent you to a reception area.
Well, and why didn't you?
We'd have never made it.
Jake stares at him dubiously, and Coulter stares back. Near the back of the truck, Cheryl approaches June, who's moving boxes.
Honey, come here.
June joins her around a corner beside the truck. Glancing around, Cheryl pulls out the bottle and opens it.
Have a drink?
June shakes her head.
Come on, it's great. Whiskey? Flair and Mellow. What's the matter, kid? I'm frightened. Well, who isn't? I'll tell you something, honey. I've been scared since I was 12.
Cheryl pulls the coat tied around her.
Wouldn't you know this would happen when he bought me a mink coat? I'm sorry. You know, Joe, he looks like a hood. He acts like a hood most of the time. But I know him. He's a sweet guy. He's been awful good to me. I love him. You want to know something? He loves me, too.
She holds out the bottle again.
Come on, honey. Bottoms up.
June takes the bottle and drinks.
That's a girl. It may not be the best tasting stuff, but it'll sure make you feel better.
Are you going to get married?
Joe wanted it first class. A wedding in a big church and all the relatives. Honeymoon on the Matsonis. Royal Hawaiian bridal suite. He just never had enough to make it till now. And now that he's finally got it.
She turns away, sobbing. June moves to touch Cheryl's arm, but doesn't. Cheryl wipes her nose and forces a smile.
You talk pretty weepy for a girl.
Turning to June, she raises the bottle.
Here's to love. It's the greatest.
She drinks. Crouching on a hill, Al turns and aims when he hears a noise. Stepping out of the brush is Karen, who notices him. He lowers the shotgun as she approaches.
I almost blew your head off.
Oh, I'm sorry. I should have given you some warning.
You're lucky I'm not trigger happy. The truck loaded and ready to move?
She glances behind her.
I don't know, Al.
They look at each other. Al crouches down again.
Hey, you look nice in mink.
Taking a couple steps, she sits on the ground not far below him on the hill and looks around.
It's peaceful up here.
Sure. That's why I got the shotgun.
Al, would you really shoot him?
He sets the shotgun on the ground.
If I had to.
Then stands.
Poor boy, he must be frightened to death.
He steps down the hill to her and sits beside her. She gazes sadly into space, then meets his gaze.
Put your arms around me.
He looks away.
You know what you're doing?
I think I do.
You, Dave, you're all alike.
They gaze at each other again. With one arm around her and the other hand on her cheek, he draws her in and they kiss tenderly. Their lips part, and she stares intensely at him. Breaking her stare, she looks down the hill.
It really doesn't matter what they'll think.
He shakes his head in agreement, and helps her slip the mink coat from her shoulders, revealing her white button-down blouse. As she takes her arms from the sleeves, he lays the coat on the ground, then holds her and pulls her into another kiss, lying on the coat, and bumping the shotgun, which slips away and down the hill, coming to rest at Sam's feet. He stares up the hill at them. Turning away, he walks off through the brush. Coulter walks past the chicken coops in the back of Jake's pickup truck and pauses, watching Sam cross the road toward him.
Where have you been? Where's your wife?
I don't know.
That's where I was looking for her.
Did you find her?
No. No.
See the kid, Clint?
No, I didn't see anything.
Well, where's your wife?
I suppose she'll be back in a minute.
Well, let out a holler. That'll bring her in.
Coulter heads back to the semi-truck. Then Sam follows. The last of the boxes are reloaded as they reach the back of the truck.
That does it. We got everything in the truck.
Okay. We're going to move the truck about a quarter of a mile up the road. Some of you can ride in the back of the truck. The rest of you can ride with me. I'll bring my car so I can keep in contact with County. All right, let's go.
He turns to Sam.
Go get the driver.
What are you waiting for? He's got to drive the truck. It's going.
Despondent. Sam complies. On the hill, Al and Karen lounge on the coach, smiling.
If it weren't for you, I think I'd float away.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Al, I don't know how to say this, but it's very important to me.
Say it.
Well, you said you appreciated honesty. I don't want you to become angry. Well, it's important for me to know how you feel.
He shakes his head.
Does it really make any difference? Does it?
Yes. It would tomorrow.
Okay, for your tomorrow. Like I said before, any guy worth his salt is going to appreciate you for what you are. And I dig you.
Oh, Al.
They embrace. But she pushes herself away when she spots Sam standing below them on the hill. Al gets up and helps Karen up as she puts on the coat. Sam bends down and picks up the shotgun. Nervously, Al and Karen stand together as Sam stares at them. He lowers the gun.
The truck's loaded. We're gonna move. You better come down.
He walks away.
It really doesn't make any difference, does it?
No, it doesn't.
Holding hands, they follow him. Sam wanders toward his car. Timmy jumps from the back seat to the front seat and looks out the open window past him. Karen arrives with Al, letting go of each other's hands. As he takes a few steps toward his truck, she walks to Timmy in the car and picks him up. Ignoring Sam, she walks off with Al toward his truck.
Hurry up! There isn't much time!
They step past Jake's truck to the others.
You three get back of the truck. You can ride with me. Let's go!
Coulter turns to Sam and Karen.
You two come with me.
As Coulter leaves, Sam touches Karen's back to go, but she stays put. With Timmy in her arms, she goes to the passenger side of Al's truck.
Open up, you've got a passenger.
leaning across the cab. He opens the passenger door. Then she climbs up. She sits and closes the door. He starts the truck. He drives it forward, past Jake's truck. Coulter drives the police car ahead of him. As they head off down the road, Clint scrambles down from the embankment. Spotting a suitcase on the ground, he runs to it and picks it up. He hurries to Joe and Cheryl's convertible and gets in. But when he goes to start it, he finds no key in the ignition. Getting out, he grabs the suitcase again and runs to Jake's pickup truck with the chicken coops. He sits behind the wheel, but there's no key. Growing frustrated, he jumps out of the truck and struggles to push it forward. When he releases the brake, he's able to get it moving, but it runs straight into the convertible. A coop falls, smashing open and releasing several chickens. Clint almost falls back, then wildly kicks at the birds. He runs to Sam and Karen's car. Getting in, he finds he can't start it either. He pulls himself out. Finding a rock on the side of the road, he runs at the car and throws it at the windshield. Then he runs back to the chickens, steps through the broken coop and throws one chicken at the ground. He pulls down another coop, picks up chickens and throws them, then throws down another. He turns to another coop and pulls it down. Overturns the broken wood and tosses aside more chickens. Then he collapses. Down the road, the semi and police car turn to park.
1320, repeat, 1320. Missiles, condition red. Condition red.
When everyone gets out, Coulter turns to Joe.
Where's the water bag?
It's
in the truck. Get it!
He does. And Coulter crouches to the ground.
Pour it out here. Pour the water out. Give me the bag!
He rips it open.
Are you out of your nut?
And pours water into the dirt.
We need mud to put on the screens and the air vents. It'll act as a filter. Help me!
Joe crouches down.
Oh, man, ain't we got a wild idea. Big Daddy and Mud Pie.
But he picks up the mud with Coulter.
Grab a handful!
When they get up and head for the truck, Al, Karen, and Cheryl go to the mud. Behind them...
What are we going to do?
If we're on ground zero, everything for miles around will be burnt beyond recognition.
Well, I've known that all along.
It would make more sense asking forgiveness on the ridge than going through all these survival motions.
Then why stay?
Because Mr. Laws ordered us to.
Well, we'll see about that.
Attention, attention. All medical personnel proceed to shelter immediately.
Missiles. Time of arrival, approximately 5 p.m.
Get in the truck!
Coulter gets in the car and makes a call.
This is Coulter. Do you read me? Do you hear me?
I'm not going to go in there.
Well, I won't ask you to.
I'm not going either.
Then let's go.
Jake, June, and Pete run off.
We'll be in the truck, and this car will be out of operation. 10-4-0.
Coulter gets out.
Right, Dad. 10-4-0.
They went away.
As Sam watches the runaways, the others get into the back of the truck.
Come on, get in there!
Sam stays out, holding the shotgun.
Oh, dear God. What am I gonna do?
He gazes at the gun as Coulter's closing a door.
Stay inside!
He steps away from the door and looks down at the ground. Bending down, he picks up the shotgun and ejects the cartridge. Then he runs back to the truck with it, climbs inside, and shuts the door. Up the road, Pete and June pause for Jake.
I got the rest a little.
Where are we going?
Jake sits.
I heard a gun go off, Gramps.
Never mind about that.
June and Pete crouch beside him.
Would have been less complicated at Rock Creek.
Oh, you live at Rock Creek?
Right on the Crusher Trail.
Oh, yes, at Crandall Shack.
Yeah.
He looks up the hill.
I remember a spring above here. I could use a drink.
Pete and June stand.
No, I'll wait here.
They walk on.
Seattle, come in.
The police car sits abandoned.
Seattle.
As does Seattle, Sam's body.
WRLRP calling WMQQR San Francisco. Come in, Tom. Do you read me?
Sitting in the back of the truck, Coulter takes off his hat to wipe his brow. Cheryl steps behind and around him. Between Joe on the floor and Al and Karen sitting on boxes, all but Coulter have removed their coats and jackets. Karen holds Timmy, who's panting. Joe munches on a cracker. Coulter stares down. Cheryl looks around at everyone.
Bunch of sober people. You're a pretty sober group. How much time we got?
Coulter looks at his watch, but lowers his arm. Looking at him, Joe has another cracker. Karen hugs her panting dog.
Who would have thought this truck was going to end up as a bomb shelter?
Joe and Cheryl tug at their collars. Cheryl licks her lips.
I'm hot. Well, aren't you hot, Joe? Is it really going to be like that?
You mean the heat and the blast and the radiation?
Yeah.
Now, how the hell should I know?
But, Joe...
Shut up. Will you please, honey?
Up the road, Jake sips water from Pete's hat. Tossing the rest, he returns it.
Thanks, Pete. Peter, I did a lot of thinking while you two were away. You know, about 100 yards from that old shack of yours up in the hills is an abandoned mine.
I've never seen it.
Oh, it's there. Very old mine. With a lot of shrubbery around the entrance. Used to play there when I was a kid. It goes deep into the side of the mountain. Now, by following the main tunnel, you'll be able to go far enough back in where you'll find an area that should protect you. And you don't have to worry about water, because there's an underground spring.
You really think we'll have a chance there?
You'll be a lot safer there than you will be in that truck. Of course, I don't know what you're going to do about food.
There's some canned food at the cabin. We can take some with us.
Good, good. Well, then, if you hurry, you can make it.
They all stand.
Well, what about the others?
Oh, once they lock that door, they'll never open it again. Coulter can only see things his way. He actually believes that they've got a chance in there.
Well, let's try to get them to go with us.
It's no use. If anybody has a chance, it'll be young folks like you.
Now, that's kind of one-way thinking.
Now, do as I tell you. You're going to be in the same boat that they're in. Now, get moving.
June and Pete start to go.
Well, come on, Grant.
Right.
He pulls out a spare key.
Always be prepared.
Pete does the same.
It's my motto, too.
Jake gives Pete his.
Now you two, get in the pickup truck. Well, I got something else to do.
No, I'm not
going to
go.
Now, Junie, I'm not coming with you. I'm going to the top of that mountain. I'm going to climb up there and watch it happen. I don't particularly want to be around when this thing's over with. But you two got to believe that there can be a new beginning.
June throws her arms around her grandfather, who motions for Pete to help pull her away.
You haven't much time.
They run off. In the truck,
Al takes out a cigarette and looks for a way to light it. Not finding one. He puts the cigarette behind his ear.
I'll save it till later.
Coulter looks up.
You can't smoke in here.
I said I'd save it till after.
With all this mud packed on the ventilators, we ain't gonna get any air in here.
Well, that's the whole idea. The air's gonna be full of radiation. We want to keep as much of it out of here as possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
Still standing, Cheryl runs her hand through her hair and fans herself.
Look, I don't know about you, but this heat's too much.
She unbuttons her sweater.
I'm sure nobody cares if I make myself more comfortable.
Joe glances at her as she undoes her belt.
Well, look, for the next 2 weeks, we're going to be awful close. I'm sure nobody cares.
She takes off the sweater, revealing a camisole, and puts the sweater on a box. Resting his head against the barrel of the shotgun, Coulter stares at Timmy in Karen's arms.
Look, can't we open the doors just a little bit? Get some fresh air.
Are you out of your nut? Who knows when this thing is going to go off? We wouldn't have time to shut the doors.
Cheryl turns away and leans against the box. Sitting up, Coulter keeps staring at Timmy, who pants with his tongue hanging out. Timmy stares back. Coulter keeps staring.
Give me that dog.
Everyone looks at Coulter.
What do you mean?
I mean, give me that dog.
What are you going to do with him? You can't open the doors to let him out. The bomb's life will go off.
That dog's got to go. We're going to need every bit of air to breathe ourselves. After a while, we'll be laying on the floor to get fresh air.
He, Karen, and Al stand.
But he's just a little dog. He doesn't breathe.
We can't have him here.
No!
Dog's got to go.
When Coulter reaches for him, Al intervenes, but is shoved away. Coulter grabs the dog, and the women watch, horrified. Drops it on the floor and turns to them.
Won't do you any good to cry. It's all over. A little while you'll be thanking me. Get rid of that dog and help it off a lot.
Oh my God!
Oh. Al gets to his feet and goes to comfort Karen.
You'll be glad we don't have that extra pair of lungs when you're laying here gasping for breath.
She cries on Al's shoulder.
Take it easy, Karen.
Shut up. No more talking.
Al glares at him. Coulter sits back down with the shotgun. Still munching on crackers, Joe turns to Cheryl, who turns away.
Best thing for everybody to do now is just sit down and take it easy. The more you get yourselves worked up, the hotter it's going to get and the harder it's going to be.
Karen and Al sit down. Cheryl sits as well. Setting a gun aside, Coulter takes off his jacket. Joe wrings his hands, then reaches into his back pocket and pulls out a stack of money. He counts the bills one by one, smirking. He fans them out and fans himself.
I want to get out. I can't stand this. You can stay in here if you want to, but you're not going to keep me in here. I'm going to get out.
She runs for the doors, but Coulter smacks her down. Joe gets up and tries to grab the gun, but Coulter knocks him down with it. Al lunges at him, but is slugged in the gut, then the jaw, and he collapses. Coulter runs to where Cheryl beats on the doors. They open, revealing 7 men outside.
Oh, welcome to the group. Didn't know there was anybody in the truck till we heard all the ruckus.
What do you got in there?
One of them leers up at Karen's legs.
All kinds of goodies.
Coulter crouches down and steps off the back of the truck.
Where'd you come from?
We're the first out.
From the city?
There ain't no city no more. Everybody there's going nuts.
Yeah, the whole warehouse district's on fire.
Al jumps down.
The bomb?
Are you kidding?
A school bus stands behind them.
What happened to the law?
Joe climbs down.
How come you cats got through?
There ain't no law.
One holds up a crowbar.
It's everybody for himself.
We are the law as far as we're concerned.
Well, I'm the law here.
Well, you just go right ahead and be the law. All we want to do is get out of here.
Nobody's stopping you. Get going.
We need gasoline.
There any gas in there?
No.
Look, all we need is about 10 gallons to get on the other side of the mountain. Take a look.
It's the truth. We ain't got any. Where do you think you're gonna go?
As far away from here as we can get.
You ain't got a chance, man. That blast is gonna cover an area for miles around, and you ain't gonna run fast enough or far enough to get anywhere.
Why don't you get in the truck with us?
Are you kidding? That flimsy thing will never hold.
Even if the blast doesn't cave it in, the heat will burn it to a crisp.
You're wrong.
Look, man, if we thought we had a chance, we would have fought our way into the subway.
There ain't no chance here at all.
But we got a chance if we get some gas.
All units, take shelter.
They turned to the police car.
Shelter. Missiles coming in. Missiles 3 minutes away. Missiles
and
three minutes away.
And we got no time to mess around.
Come on, let's get the hell out of here.
There ain't no gas in the bus. Missiles. Let's try the cop's car.
55 seconds. Two of them run to it.
No keys!
Take shelter.
They run back.
Get him!
With their weapons, the men swarm Coulter. One knocks Joe away and punches Al. Another pulls Karen down from the truck as they search for the keys.
Baby, you're coming with us. No use you staying here. Come on.
One of them finds the keys.
Let's go.
Karen is forced into the back seat of the police car as four of the men scramble into it.
2 minutes, 25 seconds away.
It backs away, leaving three of the others.
Hey!
They run for the car, which keeps backing up.
Take shelter, missiles. Missiles 2 minutes, 10 seconds away.
When they reach the car, it takes off past them. They run back to the truck. The car speeds away down the road. Al closes the truck doors, leaving Coulter lying on the ground. He regains consciousness. Sitting up, he struggles to his feet. As Clint runs up,
Clint.
He backs away.
Wait a minute, Clint. Don't run. Come on, Clint, get in the truck. You can't get away. Come on, get in the truck.
Coulter turns to the closed truck, runs to it, and beats on the doors. Clint stands watching him. Coulter tries to open the door's latches, but can't. Clint keeps watching, confused, as Coulter desperately keeps beating on the doors of the truck. Everything goes white. The end. This described version of This Is Not a Test was produced for Movies for the Blind. Cast: Seaman Glass as Coulter. Thayer Roberts as Jake. Aubrey Martin as June. Mary Morless as Cheryl. Thank you.
Green as Joe. Alan Austin as Al. Carol Kent as Karen. Norman Winston as Sam. Ron Starr as Clint. Don Spruance is Pete. The Looters. James George Jr. Norm Bishop. Ralph Manza. Jay Della. William Flaherty. Phil Donati. Doyle Cooper. A GPA production. And that was This Is Not a Test. And thank you again to Debbie for suggesting it. Seaman Glass, who played Coulter, had various other roles while also playing a high school teacher in real life. On the first season of Star Trek, he played one of the miners who marries one of Mudd's women. And in Deliverance, he was one of the Griner brothers who run the local garage and quite wisely question those four city men's proposed trip down that river. Much lighter fare for our next film, with King Kong's girlfriend and a man with a special Academy Award named after him, and also some great music.
I don't know why it is that women always seem to cherish the men who've been unfaithful to them.
I'm not sure now that he was. And before I had time to think, I'd gone away to America, divorced him, hidden away here. And then discovered I was going to have Billy.
Say, Mom, why can't I get a job in a dance orchestra someplace? Why am I earning as much as $15 a week?
I believe you can become a really fine confidant.
Really?
This is Dr. Christian.
How do you do?
The patient's a very important man. The great Antoine Parelli, sir.
Antoine Parelli? Well, we can't have anything happen to him.
You did a foolish thing once in Paris. Perhaps now you could right that wrong.
I can't risk it. I can't.
That's Melody for Three, next time on Movies for the Blind. For more information and links about the movies, about description, and how to subscribe, check the blog, moviesfortheblind.com, where you can also find out about this podcast's Creative Commons license. Also, check out the Movies for the Blind page on Facebook with exclusive previews and video clips. The MP3s are currently being hosted by Blind File Sharing, with easy, affordable, and accessible file storage and transfer with visually impaired users in mind. To find out more, visit blindfilesharing.com. And the movies are from the Internet Archive, so please support universal access to human knowledge by visiting and donating at www.archive.org. Thank you for downloading and for listening. Be back next week. Take care.